What is our message? I mean, as believers, what are we supposed to tell people who do not know Christ as Savior? We often call our message the good news message. That's the gospel, the good news about Christ and salvation, which is by faith in Him. Are we clear? How does the world view the message? I mean, think about it. When you talk to people, how do they respond to this message? Have you ever had somebody say to you, well, that just seems too easy, that you're telling me that I believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life, I trust in Him, and and I go to heaven? A number of years ago, I was in Rotary when I first came here, and after I'd been in Rotary for 2 or 3 years, they gave me this opportunity. They said, we want you to speak one night and just do what they call a classification talk. I didn't know what that was. I said, what's a classification talk? They said, that's when you get up and you tell what you do for a living. I said, oh, I can do that. That'll be fine. So I stood up in front of all these men, and I was talking about being a pastor and a shepherd and a teacher. And then I said, but what is the message that as a pastor at Countryside, what is the message that I proclaim? And they all kind of look at me. And I talked about the gospel. I told how Jesus Christ came to earth and died on the cross and said that all man has sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And God sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross and pay for sin. And whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life. I said, it's that simple. It's not by going to church. It's not by works. I went through the whole thing. When it was all over, I had some men come up to me and say that they had never heard that message before in their life. I also had some other men come up and said, I just want you to know, I understand what you're saying, but I think it's wrong. I think it's just too easy. Surely a person must have to do something. It can't be that simple and that easy. Why would this great truth seem wrong to some people? As we look at our passage tonight, we find that the message of the cross is foolish to some. Why? What's going on? Well, this evening, Paul tells us the truth, and that is that to man, the message of the cross, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is foolishness sometimes. And in fact, he talks about it. He'll say, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, and we'll see how that fits. You know, for mankind and the world as a whole, it just doesn't seem right that man somehow figures that in his own wisdom he can figure out some kind of way that if there's a God, how do you get to God? And he misses God's message. What is man's message? You ever thought about it? What is his message? If we were to go outside, if we were to, you know, maybe tomorrow afternoon or something, we go and we see people walking up and down the street and we'd say to them, listen, can we ask you a question? We just want to stop for a minute. What do you think a person has to do to be able to have salvation or to be able to go to heaven or to be able to be with God? And what do you think people would say? Too good. In fact, as you continue to look, I got four things I wrote down. What do people say? Be good. You try to live a good life. Some people say join a church. Some say live by the Ten Commandments. Some keep the golden rule. There's all kind of things. The bottom line is that people want to do good works. The message of the cross, that Jesus died and rose again and you're saved by faith in Him, seems foolish to them. I've told you that there's a sweet lady that visits our church about once every 3 to 4 months, and she doesn't believe what we believe. She believes that you have to do good works to go to heaven. And she comes with some of her family. And then as she leaves almost every Sunday that she's here, which is about once every 4 months, she always stops me, looks me right in the eyes and says, you're making it too easy for people to go to heaven. And I always say, it is that easy. It is. It is. It really is. Well, in this section, Paul is dealing with man's wisdom and the message of the cross. Let's begin. And as we begin, let me remind you of the background of the letter. Let's talk about what's happened. Paul writes to the church at Corinth. They got many problems. In fact, what's so great about this letter is whatever problem we have in our church, if we have some, I guarantee you they're in here because they had every one of them. So it's great because as we go through the book, we'll touch on anything we got. They had divisions and lawsuits and sexual immorality and misuse of the Lord's Supper, misunderstanding of resurrection, all those kind of things. He writes to correct their errors, to answer their questions, and to teach biblical truth. That's what his plan is. We saw that last week we saw that Paul dealt with the very first issue, and that was the whole problem of division. The church was divided around personalities. In fact, if you look at verse 12, Paul says, I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I'm of Paul, and I'm Apollos, and I'm a Cephas, and I'm a Christ. They were divided, and the charge was not to look at people, but to keep the focus on Jesus Christ. See, the focus is on Christ, not the personalities or the programs. Now, from this, Paul deals with man's wisdom and the gospel. And I think there's two things. That man in his wisdom is unable to know God. Now, you understand that the fallen man in his own wisdom will never be able to understand and know the salvation message. Not going to be able to do it. If you go to any fallen person and say, how does a person get to God? It's going to be works or this or try this or is there, you know, and it's just going to be that way. So man in his wisdom is able to know God. Realize that man in his wisdom rejects the gospel because it actually seems foolish to him. And we're going to see how Paul put all this together. The wisdom will be the key in not only at the last part of the last part of this chapter, but also most of chapter 2. And let me give you a little outline. This is basically the next little sections as they fit together. In 18 through 25, now tonight all we're going to look at is verses 18, 19, 20, and 21. That's all we're going to see tonight. You may say we're going slow through the book of 1 Corinthians. Yes, we are. We're going slow through the book of 1 Corinthians because at the very start, especially, he's dealing with some powerful things. And in this little section, we're seeing wisdom in the cross, man's wisdom in God's plan. Then in verses 26 to 31, which is the end of the passage, he's going to talk about boasting in God, in his wisdom, not man in his wisdom. So that we boast in God's wisdom, not man. Then in chapter 2, though, as we start, Paul talks about his ministry, and his ministry was not in man's wisdom. And then the last part of the chapter, or that section we're going to see, goes back to God's wisdom. So this whole little section is dealing with the cross and wisdom and man and God and all of those things. Now tonight, we're going to look at just three verses. I call it wisdom and the cross. In verse 18, the cross is foolishness. That's how it's looked at. And then in verses 19 and 21, we're going to see wisdom, God and man, and how it all fits together. So there's some good things. We'll see it as we go through. And as always, at the very end, we'll have some time for questions, and we'll see how this helps us. May this passage help us as we want to see how the world views the gospel. Now think about that. This will help us because sometimes we go share our faith, and people look at us like we're an idiot. It cannot be that way. I'm sorry. It cannot be that way. I can still remember after I trusted Christ in college, and it wasn't but about like a week later, I was in the dorm, and a guy came up and talked to me, something about going to heaven. And I said, well, I know I'm going to heaven. The guy said, you're an idiot. Nobody can know they're going to heaven. Who do you think you're better than everybody else? I said, oh, no, I'm going to heaven because Jesus, how he died on the cross, paid for sin, I trusted in him. He gives me eternal life. And they looked at me and said, you're an idiot. I went, okay. Because I didn't know. I hadn't got to 1 Corinthians yet. So I thought, I don't think I'm an idiot. But, you know, I didn't know what to think. And why was this guy so upset? Why wouldn't he immediately go, that sounds so good. You're right. It's just faith in Christ. Why is it that the world says works? You know, why is it that way? Well, as we go back, we need to go back to verse 17 as we start tonight to get our running start. And we see Paul's purpose and his commission. And I got it. His purpose and commission is twofold. What he was to do and how he was to do it. Okay? That's the two things we want to look at. Let's look at what he was to do. I think what he was to do was not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Notice verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And he got off on the subject of baptism because he started telling the Corinthians that you weren't to divide after certain people, and he even made the statement. He says, I'm not the one, you weren't baptized in Paul's name. And then he started talking about, you know, I didn't even hardly baptize anybody when I was there. And then he finally said, oh, well, but the bottom line is, Christ didn't send me to baptize, he sent me to what? Preach the gospel. So the what was he sent to do? Not to baptize people, because that's a ritual, has nothing to do with salvation. He was sent to, in a positive way, to proclaim the gospel, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to make known the message. And so he's saying, I was sent to tell about the cross and how Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin. So that's what he did. Now, how was he to do it? Not in cleverness of speech. Notice what he goes on to say. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. He said, listen, I didn't come, and literally in the Greek it says the wisdom of word. He said, I didn't come with philosophy or wisdom or manipulative ways to say things or clever demonstrations or wise sayings or clever words or persuasive sweet speech. He said, look, I didn't come with all these things like great speakers use. He said, I just came with a message because I didn't want the cross of Christ to be made void. See, the emphasis is not how you present the message. The emphasis is the message. It's not who is the messenger, and it's not who is or what is the method. It is the message that is the key. That's why it doesn't matter which one of us that God uses to share the faith, so that share the message so that someone might trust in Christ. It's not how smart or clever or sharp or wise or the exact right words we're going to use. That's not the key. It's the message. The gospel is the what? The power of God unto salvation to all who believe. It's not the messenger is not the power of God. The method's not the power of God. It's the message. The gospel is the power of God. He says, listen, Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That's what I was sent to do. How was I sent to do it? Not in cleverness of speech. Not being sharp and neat and all that kind of stuff. And that way, no, I didn't want the cross of Christ to be made void in any way at all. Did not want to take away from the message, because it's not how I did it or who did it. It's the message itself. Now, with this and from this, he ties into this little section we're going to look at tonight, and he's going to talk about wisdom and the cross. And it's pretty powerful. And in fact, this next statement is going to surprise you a little bit if you've not stopped and read carefully verse 18. Some of the things in there might surprise you a little bit, because he's going to see that when you look at the view of the cross, there's really two ways that it can be viewed, and there's two groups. They're believers and unbelievers. Now watch. Look what he says. For the word of the cross. What does it mean, the word of the cross? That's the message. The message of the cross. Now, Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. You're saved by faith in him. That's the word of the cross. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, let's see what he says there, because he puts it in a little bit different and unique way, and let's talk about it. He said, for the word of the cross, that's the message about Jesus Christ, how he died on the cross and paid for sin. The central message of the whole Bible is the cross of Jesus Christ. I mean, you can say that the Bible story, I've always said that the story of the Bible is the perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son Jesus Christ. How does God, the righteous God, bring sinful man back to himself using his son Jesus Christ? How does he do it? It's through the cross, where Jesus died in the place of mankind, paying for sin, was buried and rising again, and giving life to all who believe. That's how you're brought back. And so the cross is the central message of the whole Bible. He said the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. There are really two groups. I want you to notice it. The ones who are perishing, the ones who are being saved. And notice, he put this in present tense, and I'll show you why in just a minute. To the ones who are perishing, the ones who are being saved. Do I have another slide there? Yeah. To the ones who are perishing, it's foolishness. To the ones who are being saved, it's the power of God. Now, to those who are perishing, the word perishing means to be separated from God. You know, the Bible says, whoever believes in him will not perish, be separated from God. That's the unbeliever. The unbeliever is the one who's going to be separated. The unbeliever is the one who is perishing. And in fact, it says to those who are perishing, the message is foolishness. The Greek word there is moronic, or moron. We get moron from it, you know. You're a moron, you know. Well, that's because it's foolish. That's what the Greek word means. But notice the contrast. But to those who are being saved. He put it in present tense on purpose, because when you have these are participles, and when you put it in that light, it's given a characteristic. It says, this is the ones who are perishing, the perishing one, the unbelieving one. It's foolishness to the unbeliever. But to the ones being saved, the believing one, you might say, the ones who are being saved, the believing one, it's the power of God. And so he did that, I think he did that way on purpose, because his point is this, either people are perishing or being saved. There is no in between. You know, there was this idea that people have sometimes is when you talk to them about Christ, they go, well, I'm still trying to decide. There is no middle ground, like, you know, I'm going to decide either not to believe in Jesus and maybe, you know, or I'm going to decide to believe in him. There's no middle ground. You either believe it or not believing. There's no little limbo place where you're sort of safe out there until you make a decision. What does the Bible say? The one who believes not is what? Condemned already. And there's no in between, like you're sitting over there going, you know, I'm just one of these days, I'm going to make my decision and I'll let God know, and then I'll get, you know, I'll go over this side or this side. No, you're already on this side. He says, to the ones who are perishing, the message is foolishness. The cross is foolish to the ones who are perishing. To the ones who reject the lost ones, it's a foolish message. But to the ones who are being saved, it's the power of God. See, either people are lost or saved. There's not any in between. There's a present condition, as the way he puts it, because that's the way it is. There is no in between. So the view of the cross is when you reject it, the foolish one, you might say, saying it's foolish, is rejecting and is the unbelieving one. But the one who sees it as the power of God, in a sense, is the one who accepts it. So the message of the cross is foolish to the unbeliever. That's why when you can talk to the one who is not believing, the unbelieving one, and talk to them about Christ dying on the cross, they sometimes look at you and go, that's that doesn't add up. That's not the way it is. See, the natural man looks at the cross as foolish. I've read some things where it says, or a person who writes and says, you can't tell me that somebody who lived 2,000 years ago is supposed to be the Son of God and dying in my place is going to give me life. Really? Yeah, really? Yeah, that's true. It is true. See, to the ones who are being saved, it's what? It's the power of God. To the ones who are perishing, it's stupid. It's moronic. It's foolish. He says, when you look at people, he says, listen, Christ didn't send me to baptize. He sent me to get me to preach the gospel. Not in words of wisdom, so the cross would be in effect. Because see, the word of the cross, to those who are perishing, it's a foolish message. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. All of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we say, what a message. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes the gospel, the good news. You understand that salvation is not based on man's thinking or logic or intelligence. Just be thankful it's not based on our intelligence, because I come up pretty short on that one, And man doesn't come to God by his own wisdom, but through God's perfect plan. And we'll see why in just a minute, because it's down in verse 21. But look at verse 19, because he talks about God's plan. God says, I'm not going to let man come to me through his own wisdom, because in his own wisdom, what does he think about the plan? It's a foolish plan. So he can't come. Mankind can't come to God through his own wisdom, because in man's own wisdom, he thinks the plan's stupid. So what's he going to do with man's wisdom? Notice. For it is written, verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. He says, I'm not going to let man try to come to me through wisdom, because it won't work. God destroys the wisdom of the wise. He says, I will set aside the cleverness of the clever. He says, literally, the intelligence of man is not the way you can come to God. Realize that God's plan is not discovered by man in his wisdom or intelligence. Why? Look at verse 21 quickly. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its own wisdom did not come to know God. In his own wisdom, man can't figure it out. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. If you thought before you came to know Christ that you understood spiritual truth, you didn't understand anything. You're dead in trespasses and sin. You're like a sheep going astray, doing your own thing. And God in his grace and mercy went, come here. You don't even know it, but I'm grabbing you and I'm pulling you toward me. And you don't even know it. So he says, I'm going to destroy the wisdom. I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I set aside. And then he goes on and says, let me show you, God removes man's wisdom as far as knowing God. Look what he says. Where is the wise man? Verse 20. Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? When he talks about the wise man, he says, where's the person that everybody thinks is wise? Where's the scribe? You know, what was important about the scribe? What did they do? They did what? They copied the scripture. They were the ones that if you had a Bible question, where did you go? You went to the scribe. They copied the Bible all the time. They knew the Bible. He's asking, where is the wise man? Well, I don't know. Where is the scribe? Well, gosh, I don't know. Where is the debater of this age? The word debater is the one who's so sharp they can always make their point. But what he's saying is, where are those guys when it comes to the truth? They can't grasp it. They don't get it. Where are the smart men and their ideas? He says, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? He says, the wisdom of mankind is foolish. Have you ever read articles by the so-called wise people of this age on how our world was created or where we came from? I mean, all the way from billions of years and all that stuff to, I remember reading this guy that was a scientist, a noted scientist, can't remember his name, and as he continued to look at the fossil record, he realized that the fossil record doesn't match, that somehow we evolved up, and so how was this guy, based on the diminishing evidence, going to say mankind came on this earth? And you know what he said? He said, aliens from another planet deposited us here, started us off. And we'd say, man in his own wisdom misses it. In fact, what does he say? He says, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Man's way is foolish, by the way. What are man's ideas? Well, if you live a good life, God will, he's basically required. Yeah, you know, he's required to take you to heaven if you live a good life. You know that's true. There's none good, no, not one. Man says, well, I think if we try to keep the Ten Commandments, if we try to do this, man's ideas are foolish. Why does he do this? Verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Now that little verse, it's a kind of a little long one. It has some tremendous things in it, so we have to break it down a little bit as we go through it. Look what he starts off by saying. He says, for since in the wisdom of God, he says this, God has a wise plan. If God is going to save mankind, God is very wise on how he's going to do it. Because he knows fallen man. He knows that the natural man will think his plan is what? Foolishness. So he says, now God in his wisdom, in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not come to know God. God's plan is that the fallen world can't come to know God through their own wisdom. In fact, any time you know something about God, it's not because you figured it out. Where'd you get it? God revealed it to you through his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when Jesus said to the group, who do they say that I am? And do you know, I always amazed at this because they said what? Some people think you're John the Baptist or one of the prophets or something else like that. Notice they didn't say that the people are thinking you're the Messiah. So they said, but who do you think that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, good answer. And then he said, but that didn't come from you, did it? It came from God. You didn't get that on your own. You didn't get on your own that Jesus Christ is God and that he's your Savior. It's because the Spirit of God convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because they have not believed. He doesn't even deal with it in this passage. He just says, foolishness of a man can't figure it out. Can't get it. That's God's plan. So look what he says. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its own wisdom did not come to know God. That's not the plan. Man by his own experience can't know God in his own wisdom. Why? Look at this stuff right here. Man cannot know God in his own wisdom. Why? Number one, because we're dead in sin. Ephesians 2:1-3. We walked according to the prince of power of the air. We walked according to the world. We walked according to the lust of the flesh. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. That's why. Number two is that in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receives not the things of God, cannot comprehend them. Number three is man looks at salvation in the wrong way. Man looks at salvation and says, what can I do? It's always the way man looks at it. And so he says, man can't come to know God by his own wisdom because they're spiritually dead. They're not able to understand it and they look at it in the wrong way. When you see man, what does he think about? I think we got another slide. What does he think? He thinks you don't get something for nothing. I mean, if you told people, listen, here's salvation. What does it cost? Absolutely nothing. That can't be right. I mean, it can't be right. Because in this world, do you get anything for nothing? Well, you don't think you do, but you really do. But man doesn't think that way. What else does he think? He thinks to get to God, you have to be good. That's what I believed all my life until 19 years old. If you'd have said to me when you saw me at 17 and you set me down and you said, listen, you're going to listen to me for just a minute. Tell me this. JB, do you think you're going to heaven? Yes, I do. Why? Because I've done much more good than bad. And that's how you get to heaven. You do good. You do more good than bad. That's what I thought. Number three, Jesus Christ's death can't help me. I've had people say, you can't tell me that some person who lived 2,000 years ago and his death on the cross is going to save me. I don't think so. See, that's how mankind thinks. Man is dead, is unable to know God and to know the plan. So what does God do? Watch this. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased. This is his plan. He was pleased with his plan that through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to save people through a foolish message. Because what's the foolish message? The world says the message of the cross is what? Foolishness. So the message preached, the foolish message preached. That's how he's using it. Can you imagine standing up and saying, this is how a person has eternal life. God became a human being, walked on the earth, lived a perfect life, died and rose again, and then he says, I'll give you the gift of life, just believe that I will save you. That's a foolish message to the world. You remember Paul stood on Mars Hill and he talked about that? And you know what they called him? A seed picker. That meant that they would have philosophers come up there and they would come up with ideas from other people and they would spout out something. Everybody would go, what an idiot. Paul stood up and gave his message and they all said, what a seed picker. That's what they called it. What a guy who just picked from everybody else. We don't even know what he's talking about. But some of them said he talked about resurrection of the dead, which surprised them. Some said, I'd like to hear more about that. Most of them said, he's an idiot. Yeah, that's what they said. Not exact words, but that's what they thought. So when you look at it, he says that God decided he would save those who believe the foolish message. It is a foolish message to the world. It looks foolish. God saves me by sending his own son to die in my place. And not because I deserved it. In fact, just the opposite. That doesn't even seem right. It actually seems what? Too good to be true. That's why it seems foolish. I mean, I don't think we actually comprehend what we're talking about. We're talking about the one who created everything, who spoke it all into being, the most powerful being that we could ever imagine, controls all things, works all things according to the counsel of his plan, actually made us, put us on this earth. We're in rebellion against him, and instead of just completely wiping us all out and starting over, he said, I'm going to actually save you, and I'm going to send my own son to do it. We would say, that doesn't add up. He said, here's what he decided to do, that he was well pleased through the foolishness of the message of the cross, preached. It has to be proclaimed. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. When you say, how is a person who thinks the message is foolish, how are they going to believe it? It comes by hearing. You must proclaim the message. We must tell the message that Jesus died and rose again. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Over in Acts, it talks about, and he says, they will hear the word and believe. If you don't hear it, you can't believe it. Now, I don't mean, when I say hear it, doesn't mean that you can't read it and believe it. I'm just saying that the message has to be proclaimed. Through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Notice it didn't say, save those who live good, save those who act right. Save those who keep the Ten Commandments. Save those who, it says, save those who believe. That's why by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anybody should ever boast. You can't boast. What looks foolish to man is what saves all who believe. God saves man not through man's wisdom, but through God's plan, which is a proclaimed, preached message, and all who believe that message are saved. It's that simple. So he has a wise plan. Man can't know the message in his own way, but the message of the cross saves all who believe. Is that incredible? What messages should you proclaim to people? The cross of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news message that he died and rose again and all who believe in him have eternal life. Is that simple? When you talk to unbelieving people, don't get on anything other than the cross of Christ. Don't get on anything other than Jesus died and rose again and gives life to all who believe. The message is death and resurrection. The response is faith. Everything else is going to mess them up. If you start talking about Jonah and the first 6 days of creation and all these books and all that stuff, they cannot comprehend any of that. And the only reason they're going to be able to understand the cross of Christ is because the Holy Spirit's convicting them and that God has already planned that through a foolish message preached, he would save those who believe. That's his plan. Now, we're going to continue next time and we're going to look and see what does man do wrong? How does he look for things in the wrong way? And we'll see it. For verse 22 says, Jews look for a sign, Greeks search for wisdom. And we'll see how all that fits together. What have we seen tonight? We've seen that the gospel is foolish to the lost, but power of God to the saved. Man in his own wisdom can't know God or the salvation message. And God has decided that he would save mankind by the preaching of the cross and the believing of the man, whoever believes in the message. So let me give you the applications. The first is this. We must proclaim the message of the cross. And there are three questions. What is the message? Why give it? And how do we do it? So here's the first one. Here's the first question is, what is the message? The message, the gospel. If we're going to proclaim the message of the cross, it is the gospel, how Jesus died and rose again and gives eternal life by faith. That is the message. It's the power of God unto salvation. The second thing is, why do we have to do that? It's because man cannot go know God or the message. In his own wisdom, his own way, it's foolishness to him. He's going to miss it. And it looks foolish. So what do we have to do? How do we do it? Third one, how? Through the preaching of the cross. When you proclaim the message, he says that he is going to save those through the preached message, through what's considered to be a foolish message, but the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Salvation is always, always by faith. Whoever believes the message of Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ are saved. So we need to tell them. Now, just remember this. There is no in-between. Either all people are either saved or lost. All people are either unbelieving or believing. He who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's that simple. The world sees the message as foolish, but to the believers it's the power of God. So we proclaim this to a lost world. It is a foolish message, but in a sense, since Paul doesn't really deal with it here, in the power of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Spirit, and the foolishness of the message, God has chosen that he will save anyone who believes. So may we clearly give that message, and so that all who believe will have eternal life. Well, let me pray. We'll open up for any questions. Heavenly Father, what a passage, Lord. Your word is so deep. There's just so much there, Lord. We know that the bottom line is that Christ said, that Paul said that Christ didn't send him to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And that's the key. But we know that the cross, the truth of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is foolishness to unbelievers, but it is your power to those who believe. And Lord, we know that you're not wanting men to be saved by their own wisdom, so you set it aside. In fact, the wisdom of man is foolishness. And since in your wise plan, since through man's wisdom he cannot come to know you, you were pleased through the foolish message of the cross and the preached message that whoever would believe would be saved. Thank you, Lord, for that great truth. The message is the gospel. Why do it? Because man can't know it except through what you do. And how? Through the preaching of the cross, people can believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. Thank you, Lord, for these truths. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.